Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And our Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the opportunity we have today to share your word. And Father, I ask now your blessing, your anointing upon the word as it goes forth today. Father, that hearts and lives would be touched. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And welcome to the Lord's house. We hope that you'll be blessed today. You know, one of the things you tend to do as you get older is to reminisce about things that happened in your past, in particular, things you may or may not have enjoyed. You know, sometimes some people sit and they only think about the things that were bad in their past, the things that went wrong, the things that, you know, where people mistreated them or something. Others sit and reminisce about some of the good times they had and some of the things that they enjoyed. Maybe some of the things that you can't do today, you know. I realize as you get older, sometimes there are just things you can't do physically. But also there are other things that just are not available anymore for you to do. But I remember as I was a kid, I listened to a lot of radio programs. At that particular time in my life, we didn't have a television. I'd never seen a TV, quite honestly. So I listened to the radio a lot, and my favorite programs came on in the afternoon. And I always kind of wondered how they did this. I knew that there was a radio station in town, and I knew where it was at, and I knew there was a big field out there by the tower. And I thought, well, maybe they do this stuff out there. I didn't realize that this stuff had been recorded and was being played back at that particular station. I didn't realize all the things that went into to making a program at that particular point in time. But I remember I listened to programs like The Lone Ranger and Sky King, and some of you that are listening to me today probably have never heard of some of these programs. Maybe you've heard of Roy Rogers and some of the other ones like that. I just can't remember all of them that came on, but I enjoyed listening to those programs. That was my favorite thing in the afternoon, was to listen to these programs. And even after we moved into the big city in California and had a television, I watched some of those on TV then, but I also still listened to some of them on the radio because it was something that I enjoyed. And of course, when I began to watch television and first saw it, the first program I watched was one called The Cisco Kid. It was so great to see some of the programs that I had listened to on the radio. And yet there was another program that I saw for the very first time. And I'll have to say, I didn't really watch this particular program that I'm going to mention all that much, but I remember it quite well. And I remember the characters. It was a program that began in December of 1948, I've recently found out, when a character by the name of Buffalo Bob asked the kids in the studio audience and those watching at home, he said this, "Say, kids, what time is it?" And they would reply with a loud voice, "It's howdy doody time." And then there was a little song, if I recall correctly, it went along with it, but it's howdy doody time, it's howdy doody time. And I don't remember all the words. But some of you that are listening may remember that program. And if you want to know more about that, you know, the kids aspect of it, you can, of course, look it up on Wikipedia. But one of the things from that period of time I also remember is that you had to be ready to listen to the show or to watch the show, whichever it happened to be, and be on the right channel at the right time, or you would miss it. Now, as we think about today, that's kind of a... a foreign thought to us, especially with television, that, oh, you don't have to be there at the time it comes on. After all, you just set your DVR and you record the program and you watch it whenever you feel like it, you know. You can watch one program and be recording another, things like that. And that's what we've become accustomed to today, the convenience of it. We can do it whenever we feel like it, whenever we get around to it. And I guess that's somewhat like it is in the church today, sometimes for some individual Christians. After all, if we miss the assembling of ourselves together, we can always watch church on TV and even have it recorded so we can watch it at our convenience. The Bible does tell us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, to not stay away from our worship meetings, and this is in the Holloman Christian Standard Version, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, according to Scripture, we're told to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, or getting together in our worship meetings. But yet a lot of folks who can physically have the ability to be there don't do it. After all, they can record the service and watch it whenever they feel like it. And I want to tell you this, there's nothing wrong with recording a church service on TV. There's nothing wrong with watching them when you can. And especially for folks that are shut-ins and ones that aren't able to get out or for whatever reason can't physically attend a church, there is absolutely nothing wrong with watching TV. Just like you're listening to this program, there's nothing wrong with listening to the program. And I want to make that clear. I'm not against that. The thing is, I'm telling you, is don't do it in place of going to church. Now, if you can't go to church, then by all means, I don't have a problem with that. But do not make the radio program or the television program your primary source of your gathering together. If at all possible, attend a church in your neighborhood or in your area where you can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached and you can fellowship together with like believers, because it will be a blessing to you. Now, my wife and I watch a number of programs on TV, and we record some of them because of the times that they come on. We are at church when some of them come on. Others come on at early times in the morning. One in particular that we watch comes on at 3:30 in the morning. So we record it and we watch it when we can later in the week. And it's a program that we enjoy very much, and it blesses us to watch it. But we do not do it in place of our regular church attendance. You know, we've become more and more like the Laodicean church that John wrote about in Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And here's what John had to say. He says, then he goes on, excuse me, that he goes on in verses 15 through 16, he says, I know thy works, speaking here again of the Laodicean church, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, one of the more modern translations says, I will vomit thee out of my mouth. In other words, you're making me sick because we're neither hot or cold. Now, I realize that there are Christians that are being persecuted and being put to death in some parts of the world. But the church as a whole is seeing probably some of the best times in the history of the church. We have more opportunity to attend church. And here in America, in many towns, even though it may be a small town, there may be two or three different churches, even though the population may only be a couple of thousand people at most. And yet we may have two or three churches. We see that across America. We see that in some other parts of the world, where people gather together in various churches, and they are there. But in some parts, Christians are being persecuted and put to death for their faith. You can say, I'm a Christian in some places, and it's been a death sentence. But even some of that is changing in some areas of the world. But I think one of the things is God is getting us ready for the time that Jesus is going to come back, and he's giving us, as many people as possible, an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I address this to some of the churches today that are falling under that category of the Laodicean church, the one that's become lukewarm, the one that's become carefree, become not concerned with what the gospel of Jesus Christ says and become more concerned with other things of life. Revelations 3:17 goes on to say, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest, in fact," I'm going to stop right there. I basically heard a preacher say that the other day. "I have need of nothing. I can get whatever I want. I can have whatever I want." Well, I'll tell you, sometimes the winds of fortune can change in an instant, and you can go from being a millionaire one day to poor, to broken out on the street the next day if you aren't careful. "But I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know, if it wasn't for the grace of God and the blessings of God, you could be living on the street. You could be destitute. You have what you have because of the grace of God and because of the blessings of God. I want you to know that there are some things that are happening in the churches, especially here in America today, that are bordering on demonic. We watched something the other day, on a church program we watched on TV. I looked it up later just to verify some of what I saw. And there are things that are happening in some churches today here in America, possibly other parts of the world, that I have to say border on being demonic activity taking place in the church. Some of the things that we are doing in the name of Christianity, I am sure, is making God want to vomit, just like he said up here the 16th verse of chapter 3 of Revelations, where he says, "I spew you out of my mouth." We have become a house of entertainment rather than a house of worship. We've become a house of making money rather than a house of giving and meeting the needs of people. Some of the practices some well-known preachers are expressly forbidden by God's word. I want you to think about that. Just listen. And some other preacher friends and I have discussed this lately. There are things that some preachers are doing today that once followed God to the letter of God's word that they're doing now that God must be sick of, because God's word says not to do it. And some television audiences, they are programs, the ministries, they build their churches or build their audience to increase their dollar value. And some ministries are doing the same thing in the church. We're building our congregation so we can increase our dollar value. So we can say, "Look, we're rich now. We've got all that we need. We have need of nothing." And some of the stuff they do say, "If we do this, we'll bring in more people. And more people mean more money." The church today is beginning to bow at the altar of the almighty dollar, or whatever the currency is in the country you live in. Oh, God forbid that money becomes the primary focus of the church. But yet I have heard some where the offering took longer than the sermon was. We are supposed to be bringing in souls that need salvation and then teaching them how to live a Christian life and not how to be wealthy. But I'll guarantee you, you can turn on certain programs on television today and they are going to tell you how to be wealthy. Wealth, 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 money, money, money is all you hear about. You don't hear one word about somebody accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is what makes God sick, my friend. That's what makes him want to vomit you out of his mouth. Our attitude has become, "I'll live for today. I'll enjoy what I'll have," just like the rich man in the parable that Jesus gave, the rich man and Lazarus. But we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. But guess what? You go to bed tonight, you get up in the morning, and tomorrow has come because it's now today. And we go on in that way, leading our life as if there were no regrets, as if there were no price to pay for the things that we do. So tomorrow becomes today, and we continue on with the same attitude. We still do hear some preachers that are trying to warn us that Jesus is coming for his bride, which is the church, and that it could be in any time. And yet we hear some that scoff at them and don't preach that message. That's depressing. After all, we heard that preached years ago. Grandma and Grandpa talked about that. And they told me that great-grandma and great-grandpa talked about it. And it hasn't happened. Well, I know that was written in the Bible 2,000 years ago. But it hasn't happened. And I'm not worried about it, because I don't see it happening anywhere in the very near future. Maybe 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 10,000 years from now, maybe it might happen. But I'm not going to worry about it. Well, Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Let me read that again. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." I got news for you, my friend. With every breath you take, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ gets nearer. With every breath you take, you're going out into eternity through death gets nearer. These things are going to happen. They're going to take place. And every moment of your life puts you one step closer to it happening. And I know, as I said, we've heard people say, "I've heard it preached all my life and it's still not happened." Basically, we've slumbered and slept, just like the virgins that Jesus gives in the parable of the 10 virgins. Well, Paul continued to tell the church at Rome, and not only the church at Rome, but the church of today, this in Romans chapter 13, going on with verses 12 and 14, which I'm going to read out of the Holloman Christian Standard Bible, because the English is a little more modern. And it says, "The night is nearly over, and the daylight is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk with decency as in the daylight, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy." Oh, I tell you, the church needs to read that scripture. Pastors need to read that scripture today. Deacon boards need to read that scripture today, because there's things taking place in the church today that God speaks about that we are doing in the church, and He has told us not to do it. Let us walk in decency. You know, back when I was a kid many years ago, especially in the Pentecostal churches, and we don't sit in them anymore either, they did what they called clothesline preaching. And they preached about what you wore. Ladies couldn't wear makeup. They couldn't comb their hair a certain way. They couldn't cut it. They had to have it long. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. And then all of a sudden it changed. We didn't preach about that anymore. And now we look at the church, and I'll tell you, we see clothing in the church that's more fit for a nightclub than for a church service. I tell you, I've seen a few ladies in church that left nothing to the imagination. Be decent, as in the daylight, not in carousing, not in drunkenness. Some churches have, wine parties and wine tasting events and things of that nature. People getting drunk. Sexual impurity. Anything goes in some churches today. Promiscuity. Nobody cares. Quarreling, jealousy. We see all of that stuff in the church. And Paul is telling the church in his day, and going forward to the church of our day, don't do these things. The church needs to wake up and quit doing this. There are some things in churches, and I use the word church generically here, that are more like a nightclub than a house of God. I heard somebody preaching the other day about churches and their lighting today, and how some of them have no audience lights, just the lights on the stage. Some of them have all their walls painted black. And I understand that sometimes if you're doing certain things, you need certain lighting. I understand that sometimes for certain things. You need certain color of walls and so on. But we are trying to make the church look more like a nightclub, I think, than we are a house of worship. I was remarking to my wife that a church that we attend, that they do all the things that these other churches doing as far as like television, getting ready for television program and videotaping and so on. Yet they have light-colored walls. They don't have a lot of stage lighting. And it works just fine. We don't have to have the nightclub atmosphere. Now, I did attend one church where the walls were black. There was lighting like that. But I also understand that the church was renting the building from a group that did plays. And so it was basically renting a theater-type building where programming and other stuff took place at. And I understand that. But we need to come out from among them and be separate. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We don't have to make the church look like a nightclub. We don't have to have that nightclub atmosphere. And I'll tell you, it's my personal opinion. You can take it or leave it. But I'm not likely to attend a church that has a Starbucks in the lobby. And especially when you're supporting someone who's already told Christians that he doesn't want their business anyway. Why would you put that there? That was my 2 cents worth. It was not in my notes. But we need to wake up. We need to wake up and realize, what time is it? What time is it? It's time that Jesus is getting ready to come back. I heard some preacher the other day, one of the few that's declaring that Jesus is coming back, saying that he thought that the angels were doing practice drills right now, getting ready because they knew the time was near. Even though only the Father knows the day nor the hour, the angels know the season is at hand, and they know it's going to be soon. And he said, I think they're holding practices. They're getting everything ready to make that trip back. They're getting ready for Jesus to call for the bride. They're getting ready for the rapture to take place. They're getting ready for the events of the book of Revelation to happen, that Jesus is going to come for his bride. Here's what we're told to do in verse 14 of Romans chapter 13. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no plans to satisfy the fleshly desires. The complete Jewish Bible reads that this way. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and don't waste your time thinking about how to provide for the sinful desires of your old nature. Maybe I'd better read that one again. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and don't waste your time thinking about how to provide for the sinful desires of your old nature. Boy, he was preaching to the church of today. Don't worry about how to provide for the desires of your sinful nature. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with the things of God. Be ready. Be ready, for the time is at hand. And I've got news. When the word comes, what time is it? It's not going to be it's howdy doody time. It's going to be that Jesus is coming. The Bible tells us there's going to be the sound of a trumpet, and those that are alive, or those that are dead in Christ, are going to come out of the grave, and those that are alive and remain are going to join him in the air, and we're going to forever be with the Lord. That's what time it's about to be. That time is at hand, and at any moment we could hear that trumpet sound. Now I know that there are some that teach out there that there is no rapture of the church, that we'll all live through the tribulation, and that then somehow we're magically going to join him in the air and come back with him in the army of the Lord. I don't know how that works in their minds. But the Bible tells us he's coming for his bride, and he's not appointed his children unto wrath. And so if we've not appointed unto wrath, we can't be here during the tribulation. The time is at hand. Somebody might ask you what time it is. Tell them it's time for Jesus to come back. It's time, he's coming soon. And I want you to know, if you're listening to me today and you're not a Christian, it's time to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it's not hard to do. All you've got to do, with all sincerity of heart, ask Jesus to come into your heart Admit to Him that you are a sinner. Now, He already knows it. This admission is more for you than it is for Him. Admit that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus. And invite Him into your heart. Tell Him that you accept what He did for you on the cross of Calvary, that He paid the price of your salvation. And when you do that, He'll come into your heart. He'll come into your life. He'll make you a new creature. He'll make you a new creation. He'll make you one of God's children. And if you're listening to me today, and you've been going to church, you've been trying to live a Christian life, but you have some things in your life that are wrong, I advise you today to get those things straightened out with Jesus today. Don't let any sin continue on in your life. Because even though that trumpet may not sound tomorrow, it may not sound the next day, it may not sound till next year, it may not sound for 5 years. I don't know when it's going to sound, but I know it's at hand. But I also want you to know that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. And the death angel could knock at our door any moment. You need to be ready because the time is at hand. If you're asked, what time is it? The time is at hand. Jesus is coming. Now, I know something went around on the internet this month. In fact, just last week, that the end of the world was going to happen, I think it was June 24th. And it didn't happen June 24th. Didn't happen June 23rd. It didn't happen whatever date it was that they said it was going to happen. People have been saying that the world is going to come to an end on such and such date for centuries, and it didn't happen because that is not according to what God's word is. And I don't care who the person is, if they're setting a date, they're wrong. Because only the Father knows. Jesus Himself said, only the Father knows. And all of a sudden, we didn't someone here on earth become better than Jesus, that God said, okay, I'm going to tell you the time. I didn't tell Jesus, but I'll tell you the time. Only Jesus knows. The time is at hand, though. We know the seasons. The seasons point that the time is at hand. And Father, today, I ask for those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Let the Holy Spirit speak to their heart right now. And Father, as this message goes forth, let hearts and lives be touched. Let souls come to Jesus Christ, because the time is at hand. And we give you praise and we give you glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.